Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Thank you for tuning in to Catholic Connection. This is our special coverage on Thursday, April 24th, in this Easter octave, Easter season. We are marking the passing of the 266th Pope, and we do hope that you are getting a lot out of the beautiful prayer that we're offering for the Holy Father, including daily rosary, beginning every day through tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We continue our special coverage of the passing of Pope Francis, his legacy, all about his life and the thousands, tens of thousands of people that are lining up along, up and down the Via della Conciliazione, the way of reconciliation leading to St. Peter's as the Holy Father lies in state. Now, to let you know, all week long, including for the funeral, 10 a.m. Rome time, which will be 4 a.m. Eastern time, EW10 will be there. And tomorrow, coming up on our program, our very own Doug Keck, our chief operating officer and vice president of the network, will be joining us to give us the details in terms of our live coverage. We will be there covering it from beginning to end. We'll have full coverage on the ground there in Rome, and we will bring you everything live on Saturday morning. I think it certainly would be well worth it to certainly, if you can't get up that early, to record the funeral mass of the passing of Pope Francis. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to witness. If you recall, of course, the passing of Benedict XVI and also John Paul II, which we also covered. So we'll have more details, more specifics on that with Doug Keck, our very own Doug Keck, tomorrow on Catholic Connection. Today, when we come back after this short break, we will be checking in with Father Mitch Pacwa, a fellow Jesuit, and he's going to talk about the legacy of the Holy Father and also what we can expect in terms of what happens during a funeral mass of a pope. And it really is just something to behold, the beauty, the symbolism, and the importance of the Mass, the Eucharist, and the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Father Mitch with us for the rest of the program, and then my dear sister Jeanette Williams of Women of Grace will be joining me in the second hour. All that on a Thursday edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned. April 24th, 2025. Thank you so much for joining us as we continue our special coverage of the passing of the 266th Pope, Pope Francis. His funeral mass is scheduled for 10 a.m. Rome time on Saturday. We will be carrying it live, and Doug Keck, as I mentioned, will be along tomorrow with all those details. For now, though, we want to go to a fellow Jesuit, Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, really needs no introduction. But if you're a new listener to EWTN, you can watch him and you can see him regularly here on the network, both radio and TV. And check out his many books. He's also a scripture scholar, speaks 12 languages, and is just a gift to us here at EWTN, as he has been for many years. Father, good morning. Thanks for joining us at a very solemn time. And one of the points you made when we were chatting during the break and preparing for the show this morning is you want to remind our brothers and sisters of the importance for praying for Pope Francis. Let's talk about that first. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be with you. One of the things I remember Mother Angelica, the foundress of EWTN, saying, "You better not canonize me when I die. I need you to pray for me and offer masses for me to get me out of purgatory. Mm. And don't you stop praying for me." she was concerned. She knew people loved her. And she thought, "Oh, she's so good. She's in heaven." So I know better than that. And so I need prayer. Well, you know, when somebody like Mother Angelica does that, and she warned people that if you don't, I'll make sure you get extra time in purgatory when I am in heaven.
Spoken like a true Italian.
That's my thought, exactly. There's no accident that the word vendetta is from your language. So...
Let's just put that aside now and don't stop picking on the Italians. But okay, we talk about prayer for the Holy Father, who's also Italian, even though he was raised in Argentina. But go ahead.
That's right. He was Italian Argentinian, and you know, being Pope, being a priest, getting married does not guarantee that you go to heaven. mm-hmm. becoming a nun or a superior or anything. You are going to be judged by God for fulfilling the role that he gave you. And the same applies to the Pope. He was given great responsibility for the church, and he had to live a high level of good example. As it's Jesus' own teaching, to the one who has been given much, much will be demanded. And this is something that I think is very important for all of us to remember as we do pray for the repose of his soul. The praying of rosaries for him, offering of Mass for him. And then on Saturday, the funeral Mass itself is not what a lot of people talk about as just some celebration of life. It is praying for his soul. That's the focus we have to have. Of course, we're going to look back and celebrate many things about him, and we should. We have to consider the impact of his life on the church and on us as individuals. However, we also pray for him, and that he get his, you know, to see the Lord God face to face. That is the goal. And he himself had said, he wrote this not long before he died, that he, you know, that death is not the end. You know, mm-hmm. this is the beginning of an adventure. It's the time after we die is infinitely longer than the short span of life we had on earth. And it goes on for all eternity. It is significant. I like to use the image from the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah that God is the potter and we are clay. If we let God mold us, that's what Pope Francis sought for his life, to let God mold him. But if we're molded, we all have to keep in mind there are forces from our culture that mold us. There are forces from our ego that mold us, our temper and frustration, all those things, and our own, you know, disordered desires for different things. And then there's also the devil that wants to shape us into something hideous. He wants us to be a nightmare. And the moment of death is the moment when the clay is baked. That's when it's put in the kiln of death, and it gets its permanent shape. And the idea of purgatory is that if you have ever worked with pottery, you know, sometimes the little rough edges that you can smooth out with a file. My mother used to make a lot of pottery. She used to file it down after mm-hmm. it had been put in the kiln. Well, that's purgatory. But the moment of death gives you your permanent shape. Either you're in the image of God, or you're something hideous from Satan, or something distorted by the culture or by your ego. We want God to mold us. And that's what the Pope sought. And he wants our prayers as that filing down of any of the rough edges in his personality. And he did give himself to God, to virtue, and to the service of God and the service of other people. In his case, a very strong concern for service to the poor. Mm-hmm. That's what he gave us. And so he let the Lord shape him, but again, he knew about rough edges. We all pray for that, for him to be smoothed out.
Amen. Talking with Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, from EWTN. Father, it's interesting because the other day I was doing an interview with the New York Post, and my comments, which I wasn't surprised, did not make it. They ended up on the cutting room floor because a reporter wanted to know what I thought about Pope Francis being on the fast track for sainthood. This was Monday, this reporter called me. And so, first of all, I was trying to be very respectful, and I said, well, the Holy Father has just passed. It was this morning. And I said, of all due respect, we're not even going there. at this point. And the Pope himself would sit there and talk about, I don't know if you remember, there was an Angelus message he gave that was beautiful in 2015. And then he repeated some of the comments in an exhortation that he wrote. And that was released in 2019, I think, Rejoice and Be Glad. I think that's the correct date for that one. Mm-hmm. The Apostolic Exhortation. But in it, he said, we have to concentrate on, and we have to be more like the saints next door, the average people. And so I gave that reporter a quote and saying, this is what the Pope, I believe, based on his papacy and his outreach to the poor and the marginalized, he wouldn't want us talking about him being a saint. He'd want us to be examples to other people and look to the more common person. You know, but the media want to jump and they want to do this and they have to have their headlines. I get that. But you know, we have to understand what's really going on here in terms of the process of the soul, as you so beautifully explained.
Yeah, and I think I've seen this in some of the media where they want to see that, well, the Pope agreed with me. The Pope agreed with my politics. The Pope agreed with my agenda. And so if he gets canonized, then my agenda gets canonized. I don't underestimate that element for a lot of these folks, that they want to have their agenda canonized through the Pope's canonization. This is something that comes as people find a devotion to him, and this is something stirred by the Holy Spirit, and it will last. It won't be a flash in the pan. It'll be ongoing, you know, devotion. Secondly, the miracles of somebody, you know, somebody's intercession, when, you know, have to be very clear. Because those are signs given us from God. It's not just that canonization supports my agenda. It's rather that God confirms the agenda. And he does that by giving his signs and the graces of true miracles that are demonstrable. So that's piano, piano. Slowly, piano. This is something that we take. First of all, we pray for him and pray for his soul as we prepare to deal with our own grief. So that's the other side. You know, people who, you know, have a great love of him also are going to be grieving. And that's another aspect of what goes on in us as we pray lovingly for the person who died. That this is, that is one, I think that is the most appropriate way to deal with our grief. We pray for them. We may weep, we may laugh. I mean, anybody who's been to a funeral knows people break out in tears, they break out in laughter because they remember missing the person, they remember the great joys of knowing them. That's life. Grief, it comes in waves and troughs, ups and downs. And then over time, they sort of, you know, mellow out and subside in intensity. So this is what we do. And it's okay. That's okay. We try to do our best so that we can, you know, serve God together and give greater glory to him and prepare ourselves to be in heaven. That's one of the things I usually say when I preach at a funeral, is this is a time not only to pray for them, but to remind ourselves, I have to become holy so I can go to heaven too. And that if I love this person, I will seek the graces of God to live the Christian life Christ calls me to, so that I can be in heaven and see them again. That is also part of our responsibility as we pray for him. We remind ourselves of the need for our own ongoing conversions.
Have you noticed, because I've noticed this, I've been doing a lot of interviews, especially locally with secular media regarding the passing of Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. They seem to be very open this time around to hearing more about the Catholic faith. And not even trying to stop any of us, because when I've spoken about it before in similar circumstances, they try to cut you off or kind of diminish what you're saying. They seem to be much more open. What do you think is going on? Are you sensing that?
Yeah. I think there are a couple things. You know, some of them are realizing that right now is a time when the church is starting to bounce back. Mm-hmm. The statistics are showing that, too, that people are showing, in general, greater interest in the church. And I think there's a recognition. You know, we've gone through the past 35, 40 years of dealing with horrible scandal, and we really saw the need to repent and to work on making correction. And we've made more correction on this issue than the public school system has. Their child sex abuse scandal has only gotten worse, and they cover up for the teachers. We've been learning from horrible mistakes, and I think they see that, and that there is this, you know, sense of slowly rebuilding trust among our people, and other the media recognize that. I think also that, you know, our standard concern for the poor and for the people in need is very much part of the church's mission, and we want to do it with good sense and truth and charity. That's what we do.
Father, wonderful comments. Appreciate it. Look forward to catching up with you, God willing, next week. More with EWTM. When we come back, let's know what's coming up in the second hour of the program, including our own Janet Williams. Stay tuned. Appreciate your listenership here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Coming up in the second hour on EWTN Radio Extra, of course, the EWTN app. You can find out more information, EWTN.com/radio. We will be talking about ways we can honor the Holy Father and also Carlo Acutis, because his canonization, because of the passing of the Holy Father, was postponed. It was set to be this Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. And there are many, many people, and maybe you're one of them. Maybe you were leaving or are leaving for the eternal city today. Maybe you're leaving tomorrow and hoping to get there for the weekend, which you would if you left tomorrow on a Friday. You'd get there on Saturday and plenty of time for the canonization on Sunday. But I'm receiving a lot of emails from folks who are saying, what do I do now? I'm still going because if I cancel, I'll lose all my money. And my suggestion is to go with it and see what the Lord has in store. Look, the only thing constant in life besides our Lord, right, is change. Things happen. And God may have an even better pilgrimage in store for you, and I'm sure he does, because that's what he does. When you take that step toward him, as Mother Angelica would say, he always just runs quickly toward you before you even know it. Lickety-split. So we'll talk about that in 2 cents. And then I'm so excited. Whatever will we discuss? My dear sister, Jeanette Williams, who's an amazing evangelist here on, of course, EWTN Radio and TV, her many books, her Beautiful Women of Grave conferences. We're going to talk, I'm sure, about a lot of different developments this past week with the passing of the Holy Father and how we can witness right now. This is an opportune time to witness. But also, what about women in the church? A lot of those issues are coming up now, as they always are, but especially when there's a big news story in the church. All of that plus you in the second hour of Catholic Connection on EWTN Radio Extra. Thanks for listening to EWTN. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
April 24th, it's a Thursday morning. We appreciate you here at EWTN. You're listening to EWTN Radio Extra and the second hour of our daily morning program, Catholic Connection, as you heard, produced by EWTN. And we continue our special coverage of the passing of the Holy Father. And just to give you a sneak preview of tomorrow's show, super important. We want you to tune in every day, all day. But tomorrow, our President and Chief Operating Officer, Doug Keck, will be with us live, as he always is on Fridays, but for an extended interview to give us all the details on the coverage of the Holy Father's funeral and also give us an inside peek at what they'll be covering as we get closer to the conclave, the 9 days of mourning that are taking place right now, what's going to be happening next week in Rome, and of course on our airwaves. Everything can be found, as always, at EWTN.com. But coming up after our news this morning, after our news and we take our first break in the 2 cents segment, I want to take a look at ways we can honor Pope Francis based on his April prayer intentions. And coincidentally, or maybe not so coincidentally, even though Carlo was not mentioned in those prayer intentions, the Holy Father talks about something that was near and dear to Carlo Acutis' heart. Now, we know that some 80,000 plus young people from around the world registering for the Jubilee of Adolescence taking place this week, and it's still going on in the Eternal City at the Vatican. They're still arriving, but obviously they won't be there for the canonization because that has been postponed. So we'll talk again in 2 cents about ways how you can honor the Pope, but also honor Carlo Acutis. And we'll talk about what is it like. Okay, so maybe you're going over. Maybe you're on your way today. I know a friend of mine is heading there this afternoon, and it's going to be a much different trip than they're expecting. Another friend of mine is already on the ground, and she and her sisters were going for the canonization, and they actually picked their hotels. They'd be right by the Vatican so they could get there quickly, and you don't have to stand in line too long in the hot Roman sun, which it's already getting nice and warm there. It's in the 70s in the sun. It's another 10 to 15 degrees. So if you're growing, pack a hat. You're going to need it, or something to put on your head, because it will be very warm in the sun in Rome. But I digress. But anyway, lots of people are facing, you know, as David Bowie says, turn to face the strange changes. Things are going on. But you know what? That's what's so beautiful about who we are as a people of God. So what? Your plans won't be the same. You are going to be in Rome. Let's say you weren't going and you were so looking forward to watching the canonization, which, of course, we will cover when it happens, and we were going to be covering it gavel to gavel on Sunday. But you can still be a part of history with the funeral of a pope of the largest religion in the world. History, brothers and sisters. So we'll talk about that in 2 cents. And then the one, the only, Jeanette Williams will be joining me. Of course, she needs no introduction. Longtime fixture here, beautiful fixture on our airwaves, both radio and TV, her powerful ministry, Women of Grace, her countless books. And we are going to talk about the passing of a pope, what that means, and especially as women, in terms of women in the church, how we continue to make a difference, and even how Pope Francis did elevate several women to many top positions, and why women do not, if we get to this, I don't know if we'll have time for it, but again, they've been coming out of the woodwork as they always do, and there's big breaking stories in the church, and we pray for these women who insist that the next pope has to ordain women priests or deacons. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. But it doesn't have to happen, because we are all in our gifts. God designs us. We're equal, okay, in his eyes, but we're different. And it's a beautiful difference. So we'll discuss, I'm sure, much to talk about with my dear sister, Jeanette Williams. Right now, though, it is 4 minutes past the hour. It is a Thursday morning, April 24th, in the Easter octave, also marking the passing of the 266th Pope. But let's get started with the news here on EWT. Well, as you can imagine, tens of thousands of people waiting to pay their respects to Pope Francis, whose body is now lying in state in St. Peter's Basilica after a solemn ceremony early yesterday. Alex Lentz of Atlanta, among the first to get a chance to say a personal goodbye.
There's kind of just a mixture of emotions. I mean, I'm anxious a lot walking in. Just, it's such a surreal place, and it's very holy, and seeing the body and just remembering everything that he stood for is very important.
Jay Gray reports the public viewing will last until Saturday's funeral, which is expected to draw at least 250,000 people.
Francis's body will lie in state until Friday evening, 7 o'clock local time. That casket will be closed. And the funeral, of course, will be the next day on Saturday, as well as the burial. And then the cardinals here get to the work of selecting his successor.
The funeral is scheduled for 10 a.m. Rome time. EWTN will be carrying that live. Doug Keck will have more details tomorrow here on Catholic Connection. The 88-year-old Pope Francis died Monday of stroke and heart failure. Also reporting this morning, Michael Kastner tells us we now know more about the final few hours of Pope Francis's life.
As mourners gather to honor the Pope in Vatican City, we have learned among Pope Francis's final words were an offering of thanks to his personal health care assistant, Massimiliano Strappetti. Strappetti was with the Pope on Easter as he made an appearance before the crowds in St. Peter's Square and rode through in the Popemobile. Strappetti says the Pope thanked him for bringing him back to the square for what would ultimately be his last visit. Francis then rested and had a quiet dinner in his apartment before going to bed, Strapetti said. He started showing signs of illness around 5:30 in the morning before slipping into a coma and then death. I'm Michael Kastner.
Interesting story that Edward Penton from the Register is covering, and I suggest you take a look at it at ncregister.com. Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Bisciu insisting he's still eligible to vote in the coming conclave despite having resigned from his rights as a cardinal and his subsequent conviction for embezzlement and other crimes, which he is currently appealing. Penton reports that in recent comments to local Italian media as he left his native Sardinia for Rome, the Pope Francis' funeral, Cardinal Bisciu saying that he would take part in the conclave, claiming his cardinal privileges remain intact, adding that he believed there was no formal or legal impediments to his presence at the conclave among the electors of the new Holy Father. He did say the Pope's passing had left him deeply shocked and dismayed, adding that death, however sudden, cannot release 7 years of close collaboration, of shared decisions at the highest levels of ecclesial life and a friendship built day after day. But the former Deputy Vatican Secretary of State losing all cardinal privileges in September of 2020 after Vatican prosecutors presented the Pope with findings from an investigation into alleged financial crimes. And again, you'll find more on this story at ncregister.com. Birth rates in the U.S. are at a near record low. New information released by the Centers for Disease Control saying about 3.6 million babies are born in the U.S. last year. That's a 1% increase from 2023, which saw an all-time low birth rate in the U.S. The Trump administration has been considering new policies to encourage women to have more babies, including giving $5,000 in cash to each woman who gives birth. When asked about by reporters this week, Trump said the proposal sounds like a good idea to him. Meanwhile, Mark Mayfield tells us the president is cracking down on DEI in American education with two new executive orders.
Trump took several executive actions Wednesday regarding education, including two targeting efforts to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion in the classroom, saying U.S. education is finally getting out of the business of DEI.
We want to focus on merit, not things like disparate impact theory and the whole sort of diversity, equity, and inclusion cult.
It's getting out of that, huh?
Yes, sir.
After being in that jungle for a long time.
One executive order is aimed at organizations that evaluate colleges for accreditation and who the White House says have abused their authority by imposing discriminatory DEI standards. Another order provides new guidance for K-12 schools to ensure that school discipline policies are based on objective behavior and not DEI. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Texas Senate debating the Texas Women's Privacy Act. It would require people to actually use bathrooms that match their biology.
I never dreamed that the day would come that I would have to worry that a male would walk into the bathroom.
That state Senator Lois Kolkhorst, the bill does not create a new crime. It would be a civil penalty to use the wrong restroom. Those who see it happen would file a complaint. It covers all family violence shelters, prisons, and state and county buildings, including public schools and universities. Andrew Whitman tells us protesters are reportedly planning more sustained encampment protests at Columbia University in Manhattan starting today.
NBC News reports a group of protest leaders met secretly in Brooklyn Tuesday to set it all up. The report says protesters opposed to the Gaza war will take to the West Butler Lawn at Columbia's Morningside Heights campus. That's where last year's encampments were. At 1 p.m. then, a second supposedly more robust encampment will start Friday at the Ivy League University's campus in Manhattanville, north of the main campus. That site is not gated off to outsiders. It's not clear how many protesters are Columbia students. Andrew Whitman, NBC.
Cornell University, meanwhile, canceling a concert by R&B singer Kalani over her stance on Israel's war in Gaza. She's been a vocal critic of Israel's policies toward Palestinians, speaking out at concerts and online. Last year, music video, she wore a jacket covered in symbolism for Palestinians while dancers waved the Palestinian flag and introed a phrase in the video reading, "Long live the Intifada." The president of the Ivy League school saying her statements were anti-Semitic, anti-Israeli, brought division and discord to the annual concert as well. Cornell is among several schools being looked at by the Trump administration over alleged anti-Semitism, the White House this month freezing $1 billion in funding to the school. In other news this morning, the Ocean County wildfire that consumed 12,500 acres could become New Jersey's largest in nearly two decades. It's being fed by pine needles and dried leaves, but progress is being made. And New Jersey Forest Service Fire Chief Bill Donnelly says it's now 40% contained.
You know, everybody's used to seeing California and things like that, that chaparral that burns up them hills. And these pine barrens out here are the exact same type of fuel model. They are just like having napalm spread across the ground.
Hundreds of firefighters battling that blaze, which was first spotted Tuesday morning. It's now spread to several different townships. One business owner says his home was destroyed. His business was destroyed, but no homes. Donnelly expects full containment at just over 15,000 acres, hopefully by tomorrow night into Saturday. And thanks be to God, they say there's rain in the forecast. Meanwhile, the smoke from those fires now forcing an air quality alert for New York City. Fire crews again continuing, as we just mentioned, to make progress on the Jones Road wildfire in Ocean County, destroying 13,000 plus acres since Tuesday morning. Over 5,000 people forced to evacuate because of that fire. Brian Shook tells us folks near Anchorage, Alaska, reported feeling light shaking after a 4.5 magnitude earthquake striking Tuesday afternoon.
It happened around 4:30 in the Willow Creek State Recreation Area, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. That's about 40 miles north of Alaska's largest city. More than 1,000 people submitted shaking reports. There's no word of any damages or injuries. I'm Brian Shook.
Finally, in our news segment on a Thursday morning in the Easter Octave, April 24th, today is National Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day, a chance to show kids how businesses operate. Ed Gratulski, Chief Marketing Officer with Junior Achievement, said it's a good opportunity to expose children to different occupations and ideas.
There are all kinds of jobs out there that really have a lot of opportunity around them, and it's important to expose young people to those kinds of jobs early enough so they can start playing their education around pursuing some things that, again, align with their interests.
Originally founded as National Take Your Daughters to Work Day, the event expanded to include boys all the way back in 2003. Almost 14 minutes past the hour. We do appreciate your listenership here at EWTN's Catholic Connection, both hours. The first hour, of course, across our affiliates, 600 Plus and Sirius Satellite. This hour, if you're listening on the app, EWTN Radio Extra. Up next, T's Two Cents, talking about ways to honor both Blessed Carlo Acutis, who was to be canonized this week, and also the late Pope Francis. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Good to be with you on a Thursday morning, April 24th, 2025, the Easter Octave. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Very special week, in addition to being the most important time of year for we Catholic Christians, Christians in general, of course, Easter. He is not here. He is risen. And we are experiencing something else very special, more history in the making this week with the passing of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, the 266th Pope. And we've been giving you, we hope, a good solid coverage with all different types of perspectives that will continue after this Two Cents segment with my dear sister and well-known author, speaker, and fabulous EWTM media personality, Johnette Williams. But first, if we take a look at really what's happening right now, there's a lot of people who are either in Rome right now, on their way there, hoping to get there obviously by Saturday because they were planning to be in attendance for Divine Mercy Sunday for the beautiful Mass and the events that were to surround the canonization of the first millennial saint, the amazing young man, Carlo Acutis, a 15-year-old teen who rocked the world as God's influencer. That's not happening now. It's not happening because of the Pope's, obviously, because of the Pope's passing. All beatifications and canonizations have been temporarily suspended. That came out earlier this week for obvious reasons. And we don't know when Carlo will be canonized. What we do know is that there are still 80,000 plus teens, maybe some parents, lots of school groups, parishes that are still either in the Eternal City right now, it's a Thursday, or will be there for the weekend because that's when the events were supposed to begin for the Jubilee of Adolescence, which many of those things are still on the schedule, the different events and gatherings and talks that the young people will hear. But it will be different, very different. On Saturday, there will be the funeral. of the Pope, Pope Francis. 10 a.m. Rome time, 6 a.m., no, 4 a.m. our time, because it's 6 hours ahead in Italy. So if you're on Central time, it would be 3 o'clock. If you're on Pacific time, obviously, it will be 2 o'clock in the morning. We will be covering it live, and Doug Keck will be along tomorrow with all those details. But how beautiful to be in Rome for such an historic moment as a funeral of a pope. And also, when you go to an event like this, because a pope is lying in state through Saturday morning, or through tomorrow night, actually, you are going to meet all kinds of interesting people. And you'll probably, even if you're not going and you're doing, let's say, an armchair pilgrimage, watching all this coverage, you're seeing all kinds of statements, as with the statements we ran for you in the newscast that Richard ran for us earlier. And so we need to be really open to change. Maybe you had, you know, your whole weekend planned and you were going to go to Mass at a specific time and you're going to be home so you could watch all our coverage and you're going to maybe have your image of Carlo Acutis and be there for the canonization as we were covering it live. And we will again when it happens. But what does God have in store for you instead? Whether you're going to be home this week or whether you're going to Rome or already maybe in Rome. Well, I penned an article for Church Pop, which should be up, I believe, today. If not, I'll let you know tomorrow when they post it. But I start out the article by mentioning this well-known phrase, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. Many of us know this to be so true in our own lives, right? And it's true in my life in terms of if you would have told me and my husband, Deacon Dominic, that he would be a deacon and I would be a Catholic talk show host, if you would have approached us, say 35 years ago, when I was in the height of my career as a secular broadcast journalist and Dominic was moving up in his engineering firm and we were far away from each other and God, we would have told you, I don't know what you're smoking or drinking, but I want some of it. But God had different plans. We made all kinds of plans and they were totally upended. Thank you, Jesus. Bye, Jesus and the church. So how can we make the most of these changes? Well, there's ways to really embrace this and to learn more about our faith and to remember, and Jeanette and I, I'm sure, will be talking about this. This is a huge opportunity for evangelization because there's so many fallen away Catholics out there. In addition, there's so many people curious about the Catholic faith because it's so big and it's so beautiful and it's so powerful. And they want to know, what is it with you people and with the church? So what would you say to someone, a way to honor the Pope and Carlo, who is a great evangelizer, right? About why you're Catholic and what this week, Easter week, but also the passing of a pope means to you. But let's get back to a few tips that I give in this article. I'll give you a little scoop here before it gets published on how we can honor the Pope and Carlo this week. The Pope will be buried, funeral mass again, Saturday, 10 a.m. Rome time. We don't know when Carlo will be canonized, but we will tell you as soon as we have information. You can either, if you are in Rome or are going, spend more time in the Papal Basilica of St. Mary Major. As I say in the article, it's a very important church. It is one of the four major basilicas in Rome, and it's typically your part of a Christian Rome tour. When you go to Rome and you have a Christian Rome tour, it usually includes, obviously, the major basilicas, St. Peter's, St. Paul Outside the Walls, St. John Lateran, and St. Mary Major, Santa Maria Maggiore. It is a stunningly beautiful church. And Dr. Liz Lev, who is the top guide in Rome, knows it like the back of her hand. She's going to be joining us to describe it. This is a place that Pope Francis will be buried. And by the way, if you go online, you'll see some pictures of a wooden, block that is put up in front of the area where he's going to be buried, entombed. And it's on the same side of the church as the famous Salus Populus Romani, which means, translated, salvific health of the Roman peoples. It is a special icon, an ancient icon, Marian icon, that is in a beautiful chapel. When you walk into this church and you go over to the side, there's a chapel, and you too can pray in front of that chapel. This is something that meant the world to him. He would stop there to pray before and after each journey. So my suggestion on how to honor the Holy Father: if you're going to Rome, spend some more time in St. Mary Major. And, of course, always ask Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, for her intercession. For your own journey, including the one suddenly set before you, especially if you're on pilgrimage this week in Rome. Another idea for those in Rome, finding a view from above. There's going to be limited access, obviously, to St. Peter's in the Dome this week during the visitation and the funeral. But maybe you could head to another location to get a view of history. Castel San Angelo, many of the residences, the houses where you can rent rooms, have rooftops. And if you're staying there, they give you access and you could see over the city and above the beautiful Via della Conciliazione, or the Road of Reconciliation that leads up to the Vatican. And if you're home and doing an armchair pilgrimage, go online and look for those aerial views and look for the coverage from us where we will give you those beautiful aerial views of all the people lined up along the Via della Conciliazione on the way to pay their respects. And last but not least, in honor of one of our media saints, soon-to-be media saints, Carlo Acutis, and Pope Francis, stop texting and start talking. The Holy Father's April prayer intentions focused on the media and the use of new technologies. In his message released earlier this month, April 1st, he actually said he longed for Catholics and others to reconnect with one another via actual FaceTime, without screens, cell phones, laptops. How I would like for us to look less at screens and look at each other in the eyes more, he said. Something's wrong if we spend more time on our cell phones and with people. The screen makes us forget that there are real people behind it who breathe, laugh, and cry. So why not use this time to use the media wisely? Obviously, we want you to tune in and follow the funeral and follow the other events around Easter week and around the funeral of Pope Francis and the conclave and all the breaking news. But this is a great time to really think and pray about how you use the media. Do you use it wisely? Are you using it to learn more about the faith and to grow? Are you spending far too much time on social media? Are you texting too much? Carlo Acutis, although he was brilliant when it came to using technology, he also had a lot of self-control and only allowed himself 30 minutes a week to play video games. And then he was 15 years old when he passed. So he had this knowledge about how media can influence us at a very, very young age. So, some ways to honor Pope Francis and Carlo: spend more time with Mama Mary, find a view from above, stop texting, and start talking to one another face-to-face. Speaking of talking, I have a lot to talk about with my sister, Jeanette Williams, and we come back on a special edition, the Thursday morning of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned. Thursday in the octave of Easter, April 24th, 2025. Thank you for listening to this second hour of Catholic Connection here on EWTN Radio Extra. What a blessing and an honor to catch up yet again with my beautiful sister in the Lord, in the church, and at EWTN. Truly needs no introduction. An amazing contributor for so many years on radio, TV, her books, her beautiful ministry and conferences through Women of Grace. Jeanette, what a week, sister, right? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Wow.
What a great grace to be with all of you today. You know, it's an amazing moment. It always is, you know, when we experience the passing of a Holy Father and the anticipation of the next man whom God will select. And hopefully all of our, you know, cardinals, our College of Cardinals, will cooperate with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to replace him with the one who is going to lead us into the next, who knows, Teresa, it could be mm-hmm. several years, might be decades for all we know. But such an important moment for all of us as we anticipate all that is happening in this present moment, but what will happen in the future. And I was listening to your last segment, and, you know, it was a brilliant segment. And
thank you.
Of course, we know that so many individuals have flocked to Rome for the anticipated canonization of Carlo Acutis, who means so much to us because he truly is not only a remarkable individual in his own right, but also such an icon of this moment in time,
right.
the technological moment in time, the influence that social media can have in the lives of individuals. And, you know, we're sorry for the postponement, but, you know, God has his way. We don't know why these things happen as they do, but I do know this, that from, You know, the moment in which God, you know, from all eternity anticipated this moment, he knew what would happen. And so there is good reason. And the individuals who are going there and are there on pilgrimage already will not be disappointed, because God has a special blessing in mind for them.
And I always tell, and I know you do as well, when we're leading pilgrimages, you need to tell people to be open to what God has in store, because you can put something down in writing, and we always put this on our brochures, subject to change. And that's life, number one, because it is subject to change. And look, you're going to Truly. Italy, and I love my paisans, love my Italians, but can I tell you a funny story about what happened to us 2 years ago in Orvieto?
Sure.
Orvieto, as you know, is that beautiful, beautiful cathedral in the town of Orvieto, the Duomo, which houses a Corpus Christi miracle. And we were scheduled to have Mass in the chapel where it is housed, in this beautiful, beautiful section above the tabernacle, in this gorgeous chapel, right? And so we're all excited, and we get there, and the sweet little nuns, they run everything in Italy, all the churches, and they keep that schedule. And so our guide walks up, and we had all the paperwork, everything documented, very organized, and she says, nope, nope, niente, nothing, no. And we're like, well, we have everything. And she said, no, apparently a bishop was coming in, and a bishop wanted that chapel because he had some people with him. And so everyone else on that schedule was canceled. And we did have Mass in a beautiful chapel below. But I said to the people, I said, this is Italy. This is what happens. And we need to be open. And they were fine with it. But, you know, things are going to happen anyway when you're in a place like Italy, in a foreign country, where things are always very fluid with people coming in and coming out. And so why not have that approach? Say, okay, Lord, what are you going to show me? What's going to happen? Let's be open. Right?
That's right. That's right. You know, I'm thinking about the fact that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, desires to be buried in St. Mary Major.
Yeah, St. Mary Major. Right? Yeah.
Just a remarkable place. And he's not the first Holy Father to be buried there. There's been several before him. I think 5 of them, mm-hmm. I think, have been buried there before him. But I think that this shows the Marian quality of this Holy Father. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about this openness, right, you know, this whole quality of being receptive to the present moment, the grace of the present moment, that is such a Marian characteristic. And we should approach everything through that perspective, through that lens. She is the individual in all of human history who is perfect in terms of not being scathed by the effects of original sin, nor original sin itself. And so we can look to her and find in her that great consolation that we need for every moment in time. And I know that Pope Francis himself was deeply Marian in his spirituality. Mm-hmm. And before all of his international visits, he went to St. Mary Major and prayed, and did so on his return as well.
Right.
So it's a statement about him, and a statement about how it is that we should approach every moment in our life, whether it's that we can't have it in the basilica, have to have it in the chapel. You know, the fact of the matter is God is giving us opportunity to enter more deeply into his divine and holy life by way of our surrender to the specific grace of that moment.
Mm-hmm. And imagine, I'm trying to encourage people, because I'm sure you're getting a lot of emails. I am too, from people who are on their way there. And even our mutual friend Gail was going for the canonization of Carlo Acutis, meeting her sisters. And she even got a specific hotel right next to St. Peter's so she could stand up on the rooftop and watch everything, as opposed to being in the crowd and standing in the sun. And but that's not happening now. So she says, well, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to stand in line for the funeral. I'm going to adjust my plans. But I just think it is so important for us to be open. And if we look at what the Pope gave us in this whole idea of Mary, why not spend more time in Marian, with Marian intercession, asking the Blessed Mother to move into our lives in a bigger way, right?
Yes. Yeah, and if we took that away from this moment, certainly we would grow in our spiritual life. We would grow in union with our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Blessed Mother always takes us to him. It's the only direction our Blessed Mother knows is the direction to her Son, right? Mm-hmm. So we should never have any fear of that. And of course, I know that that Gail is probably disappointed on one level. But, you know, people of faith understand these things. And if we have difficulty with this, we need to ask for more faith. You know, we need to ask for more trust. We need to ask for more surrender to that grace. And, you know, we come at this moment, even in terms of the way in which we're anticipating all that's going to happen in the aftermath of the burial of Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the job of the laity. What do you think about that?
I totally do. Absolutely.
Yeah, our job is to pray. You know, we forget about that.
Right.
We play a very big part. Prayer is absolutely essential for the, what do I want to say? The efficacy of the grace that's always coming down from the heavens.
Right.
Our prayer in some way opens up channels of distribution of that grace. And we cannot look at that as a minor situation. It's a major situation. That's our job as laity.
Well, Father Mitch mentioned that in his segment this morning in the first hour of the program, that don't forget to pray for the Pope. And he was talking about Mother Angelica saying, mm-hmm. when I die, don't forget to pray for me. Don't think that I'm automatically going to heaven. There's no guarantees. I'm trying to live out the faith I best I can, which is kind of a pretty scary thing, because if we're thinking that Mother Angelica didn't get a fast pass, then I'm like, okay, well, we got a lot of work to do, right, each other. But it is a very, very important thing. And when someone says, oh, thank you for something, what can I do for you? I said, please say a rosary for me and Dominic.
That's
or please have a mass said for us in our ministry, because, you know, those of us who are in ministry are out there on the front lines. But even Gail said she went and stood in line yesterday for 3 to 4 hours to pay respects to the Holy Father. And, you know, she's like us. She can, you know, talk to a wall and talk to the cows come home.
Oh, no. She can out-talk me. I can tell you.
Yeah, that Dominic said when I hired her, he said, you finally met your match, or someone can actually talk more and faster than you can. But she said she was in line and she was talking to all these Italians. She speaks a little Italian, but she was talking to Italians who wanted to pay respects to the Pope but weren't very Catholic. They were Catholic in name only. So she used it as an opportunity to evangelize in
That's
the lines
right.
there, right?
Well, you know, you talked about that in your last segment. And this is a prime opportunity because people have questions. And the traditions of the church are so deeply
Beautiful.
Established. And
yeah.
people want to know. So I hear the music. So you go,
yep.
girl.
I'm so glad that you picked that up. That I don't have to interrupt you because you know the routine so well. More with my sister, Jeanette Williams, when we come back, having an amazing conversation, this in the octave of Easter, and also as we are ready to say goodbye to the 266th Pope Francis. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but whenever I see or hear the bells of St. Peter's and see the church and see the people lining up, I pray. I know that they're going to pay respects to the Holy Father, which is beautiful, but I just pray that when they walk inside and they look to the right and they see the Pietà, mm-hmm. and when they look straight ahead and they see the baldacchino and that beautiful stained glass window, and they realize that St. Peter is buried below that altar. Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Matthew 16:18. Always my prayer when I see, Jeanette, those lines outside the museums, as often as I'm in Italy. I know many people aren't there for a faith reason. They're art students. They want to see the beautiful art. They want to see the gallery of the tapestries. They want to see the Sistine Chapel. Who doesn't? It's amazing. But my prayer is always, always, Lord, let the beauty bring them to you. And this is an opportunity for us to bring the beauty of the church to so many people, don't you think?
I do. We were talking right before the break that this is such a prime moment for evangelization because there are so many questions that surround the tradition of the church. And, you know, everything that attends to this moment is steeped in the tradition of the church. But we cannot forget that, you know, in all of Christendom, there is only one. There is only one who is an authority. There is only one who represents mm-hmm. all of Christendom, and that is the Holy Father. That is the successor of St. Peter. And so this Holy Father, though he represents in a very specific way, of course, our Catholic faith, he is also representative of all of Christendom.
Right.
And there is no other figure who holds that position. So when we come to this moment, we come to it with an understanding of the importance of it, the understanding of God's predilection for the moment, but also with a realization that as Christians, we are called to this moment and we are called to make use of it in the way in which God provides for us, the opportunities and the doors that he opens for us. And when you talk about, you know, our friend, you know, standing in line saying this is a great time to talk to people who have fallen away from the faith or people who are thinking of coming in. And you made a comment earlier, prior to me coming on the air, that I overheard about. There seems to be such an interest in the faith. I mean, we look at the number of converts that have come into the church in the last few years. People are hungry. They're hungry for the stability and the security. They're hungry for the roots that our church offers. And I personally have met very recently, Teresa, two individuals who, are searching, you know, are really searching. Right. And these are, you know, I am here in the Deep South, and Alabama is 2% Catholic. These are individuals that are, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterian one, dyed-in-the-wool Southern Baptist in another case, who are so intrigued and realize that there's more. And the question that they both asked me was interesting. You know, for the first 1,500 years, all of Christendom was Catholic. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at 500 years. So, but what about 500 years since the Protestant Reformation? But what about those first 1,500 years?
Right.
And that is the fact of the matter. So this is the continuous line of succession that we are experiencing in a very, I think, highlighted, poignant way at this time.
I had the opportunity, and by the way, if you're just joining us, you recognize the beautiful, peaceful voice of my sister, Jeanette Williams, from E.W. Chen's Women of Grace, her many books, her beautiful website and conferences. Check out all of her great work, her Bible studies, womenofgrace.com. I had the opportunity to do some commentary with the media, doing a lot of local media, which is always fun in my own hometown, but also a few national outlets have called me to describe, for example, when they see things, whether it be in the transfer of the Pope's body from Casa Santa Marta to St. Peter's, or they see various events. They say, can you address this? What does this mean? And one of the things that came up was a litany of saints. That is one of my favorite things to talk about. And I was explaining the history of the saints, that there are over 10,000 plus saints in the Catholic Church. And Jeanette, I can't tell you how many times I've done interviews this week, or I've gotten choked up because I think about the beauty of the faith, and I keep thanking God that I'm Catholic. I can't even tell you how many times I've said that this week to myself and to God. Thank you, God, for letting me be Catholic and being raised in this faith, even though I didn't appreciate it for half of my life, you know?
Yeah. I listened to the chanting, if you will, of the litany yesterday. And, you know, it catches us up and makes us realize that we are part of something that is not only temporal, but most importantly is eternal. That this life, this moment in time, this journey that we're on is a pilgrim journey. It doesn't end forever. I mean, life on high in Christ Jesus is what we preach and teach. And that is so very, very true. And the Litany of the Saints, I think, in a lovely way, a stunning way, points to that reality. And I wonder how many of us really make use of that concept of the communion of saints. You talked about Mother Angelica saying, you know, please continue to pray for me, right?
Right.
Because we don't know. We really don't know. And I remember Benedict Rochelle, Father Benedict Rochelle, saying that his greatest fear was that people would think that he's canonized, right? And they wouldn't pray for him. But the communion of saints, it also prays for us, both the church triumphant and the church suffering, who would be the souls in purgatory. And to reach out to them and to know that we are not alone in this, you know, fight that we fight, the good fight that we're still fighting, that we are the church militant, you know, we're still in that battle mode. We don't fight this alone. We have the support of all of the saints in heaven and all of those who are saints in the making as they're going through their sojourn through the purgatorial fires. We have all of them who can pray for us, and we too can pray for those that are still suffering and honor, venerate, if you will, the saints in heaven.
And I think that is what the Holy Father would want us to do. I was telling Father Mitch that I was interviewed by a newspaper earlier this week, and they were already talking about, they were doing a story, and they wanted quote-unquote Catholic experts to comment on whether we thought that Pope Francis would be on the fast track to sainthood. And I'm like, the man has just passed away.
Yes.
And he himself would be, can we take a breath? Can we respect the dead and please allow that process to, you know, continue and have the people, give the people of the faith a chance to mourn? So I'm trying to just hold my breath and be very, you know, kind and professional. And that's probably why my comments did not make it in the article, because I was like, this is not what we're thinking about now. And that's right. said, and Pope Francis himself would say, this is not what we're supposed to be thinking about now. And he would point to the saints among us, the average person, the man or woman next door. And I gave them a quote from one of his apostolic exhortations that talked about just that, which is probably why, again, as I was telling Father Mitch, my comments didn't make it. Not that I care, but I'm just saying, this is what we have to look at. This is not about crowning someone. This is about mm-hmm. God's going to do that. That's in God's timing, right? This is about recognizing this process that we all go through. That's whether right. we believe it, it's going to happen. You know, it is going to happen because it's true, right?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that there are so many saints in heaven who do not have a capital S, you know, right. in front of their name, right?
Right.
And the saints that are canonized are exemplary in heroic virtue, as every saint is. But something about that saint is meant to inspire us and lead us to strive for sanctity in all of the various ways in which we see sanctity depicted in that person's life and in the lives of so many other saints. So they really stand as examples, exemplars for us in the way in which we should go. But we have to realize there are many men and many women who we do not know that are saints in heaven. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those that do receive that distinction, and not every pope does. There's many popes that are not canonized.
That are not saints, right.
Doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they weren't holy, you know. But for whatever reason, that beautiful canonization has not been conferred upon them. But we sell ourselves short if we think that we are unable to achieve that. We have been created mm-hmm. in the image and likeness of God. And the sole purpose for which we have life on earth is to lead a holy and blameless life, to be full of love, which means to be full of God, and to lead others to Him. That is the call. That is right. what we strive for. There is no person outside of our Blessed Lady who was really born sanctified. She was sanctified in the womb. Well, and I guess we would have to say John the Baptist, too, was sanctified right. in the womb. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. Right. So she's singular in that way. But the fact of the matter is, through the grace of baptism, you know, that possibility of holiness and sanctity to be a saint, you know, has been open to us. And it's up to us to cooperate with that grace and to move forward in that grace and to, mm-hmm. you know, live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life in all of the various ways in which God entrusts to us.
Don't you find it interesting, and I mentioned this to Father Mitch earlier this morning, and I'm sensing this in terms of the coverage. People are more open in the media, even yes. though this article, you know, was with, it's interesting because the article that, for which I was interviewed and didn't make the cut was with a conservative outlet, but most of them have been very, very sensitive to the mm-hmm. faith and willing to listen and willing to at least allow people like you and me who are very active and, you know, in the faith to talk about the things we're talking about here on Catholic Radio.
Well, I think that we have a great opportunity right now. From a spiritual perspective, you know, I have to say this, we here in the United States, and the fact of the matter is the United States carries a great responsibility. I remember one time ago, many, many years ago, a dear friend of mine from Trinidad said to me, well, you know, Johnette, when the United States sneezes, everybody catches a cold. So for whatever reason, God has placed the United States in a particular position of influence. And I think that we were, you know, I just feel as though there is a lifting. We've been under such a spirit of oppression. The machinations of the evil one that have made their way into the culture of the day, and the deleterious structures that have been put in place to continue that kind of propagation of ideologies that are so far removed from the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings
and
of
reality,
the
quite frankly, right?
And yeah. reality, mm-hmm. exactly. I mean, you know, relativism and materialism and Gnosticism have held sway within the culture of the day, and I just feel as though there is a lifting of that. I mean, I think that we sense it deep in the spirit,
yes. mm-hmm.
and so as a result of that, inquiry about the greater realities about the supernatural, rightly understood, are permitted almost to come to the forefront and to be spoken about.
Right.
Whereas before you couldn't speak about it. Now there seems to be a license to speak about it, almost, I would say, an invitation to speak about it. So the new evangelization that John Paul II prayed for, you know,
right,
desiring, you know, this new springtime of Christianity. I really think that we have been through the birth pangs of that. You know, we've maybe been through a laboring process in the last, how many years has it been? 20 years since his death, right?
Mm-hmm,
we've been
right.
through a laboring process. And here we are at this new moment. Now, again, it's incumbent upon the church herself, but really the laity to step into that moment. I mean, if you go back, I was just reading something this morning, Teresa, I'm giving a retreat this weekend. I was reading something in preparation for that this morning. And I was reading something from Pius XII that was penned in 1952. And, you know, he was the first Holy Father that I knew. All right. So I've seen lots of Holy Fathers. But he's writing at that moment about how important it is for the laity to step into the moment. He was lamenting the direction that civilization, that the culture of man, the society of man was tending toward. And he was saying that we've got to stop this. So I would say, you know, basically, if you go back, I mean, just all kinds of things at any given point in history, but if you go back like to the Industrial Revolution, you go back to the Bolshevik movement, you go back to all of that, and you see the revolution, you see what came into, you see the lies that were spewed during that time. I think that we're at this moment now where the zeitgeist is being put to death, but we yep. have to step into that gap, and it's incumbent upon the laity. And that's what Pius XII was saying, John the 23rd was saying, Benedict was saying, Francis was saying, and this is our moment.
This is our
and
moment.
And we cheer it on, right?
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Great to speak with you. Look forward to your programs and, of course, our continued friendship. What a blessing you are in my life and in all of our lives. We'll be right back. So appreciate the ministry of Janet Williams. She's been so supportive of me over the years, and just enjoy talking with her so much. She's full of so much joy and wisdom. And of course, you can hear her right here every day on EW10 and see her on Women of Grace and go to her many conferences and retreats, womenofgrace.com. Coming up tomorrow, Doug Keck, another one of my favorite peeps here at EW10. He joins us on Fridays for the Inside Word, giving us an update on what's coming up. And oh boy, we have an amazing programming schedule for you. We are going to be covering, of course, live, the funeral of the Holy Father on Saturday, another of many other events that will be coming up. So Doug will be with us. We'll be taping with him today. And also tomorrow, you don't want to miss the interview in this hour with Dr. Liz Lev. Dr. Liz Lev, if you're not familiar with her ministry, she's just amazing. She runs a company called Liz Lev Tours in Rome. She is an art history professor at Duquesne in Rome. She writes for the Magnificat. She gives TED Talks. She writes books. She is considered the top guide in Rome, used by everybody, including we use her on all of our pilgrimages. And for my Tease Italy and my coaching, when people say, whom should I hire when I go to Rome? There's no question. And if you can't get Liz, she has trained a number of guides who are all solidly Catholic. And so you won't get anything like when you go to the Colosseum, some of these guides try to put their own political spin. Oh yeah, Christians really didn't die here, and it really wasn't about that. And then you have Liz Lev, who gives you the real history of what happened there. Why do you think they have the way of the cross at the Colosseum? For the heck of it, because it's a nice backdrop? No. Liz is along tomorrow to talk about where the Holy Father will be buried, one of the most beautiful basilicas, Santa Maria Maggiore. We'll see you tomorrow on a Friday. God bless you.